This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Genesis. And now here's Pastor Sandy in the book of Genesis, chapters 27 through 29.
In the spring of 2003, the American troops began their invasion into Iraq. The day after the invasion started, a presumptuous reporter asked the Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld, to explain, quote, the apparent failure of the Army generals to follow the war plan. That's when Rumsfeld shot back, I don't believe you have the war plan. You see, this is our predicament. We're not always privy to God's plans. With their birth, God promised Rebekah a twist with her twins. Despite the custom of the day, the younger son Jacob would gain preeminence over the older son Esau. The little brother would receive the father's birthright. This unexpected twist pleased Rebekah because Jacob was a mama's boy. He was her favorite. She liked the fact that God chose Jacob over Esau, so much so that she decided to help God out. You see, if Rebekah had been patient, if she had trusted God, he would have fulfilled his will in a harmonious way. But since Rebekah was not privy to God's war plans, she concocted her own plan and turned her family into a war zone. Genesis 27 is a fascinating study in the providence of God. Understand, nobody in this story does anything right. They all mess up. And everyone reaps the consequences of their actions and their bad choices. And yet, in the end, God accomplishes his purposes despite the mistakes of these people. I think our lives could also be a testimony of how God can also accomplish his purposes even in spite of our own mistakes. Well, the chapter begins. Now, it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, my son. And he answered him, here I am. Remember, Isaac lived long before the days of eyeglasses and laser surgery. And so the old guy was nearly blind. Then he said, behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now, therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and make me savory food such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. Now, notice, Isaac is afraid that he's about to die. Ironically, he will end up living another 43 years after this episode. According to chapter 25, verse 17, Ishmael had died at the age of 137. Isaac is now the same age, and he's worried that he might be suffering the fate of his brother very soon, that he might die too. And so he asks for his last meal. Apparently, Isaac liked the taste of venison. And for his last meal on earth, he wanted a venison steak. And so he sends his son out with his bow and arrow. He sends out Esau. In verse 5, now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son. She had eavesdropped in on the conversation. Rebekah recalled God's promise when the children were born that the older would serve the younger. And she had always wondered how God would reverse the birthright. Now she sees her husband fading, and she thinks that God is running out of time. And so she devises her own plan. Guys, God never runs out of time. Remember, we don't always have his war plan. And Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. And so Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, bring me game and make savory food for me, then I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father, that he may eat it, and that he may bless you before his death. She's trying to get for him the birthright. Now, this is a well thought out plan. While we were down in Haiti last week, we all were treated to some goat meat. And trust me, goat meat doesn't taste anything like venison. But apparently, Rebecca had a recipe. She could solve this problem. She could make goat taste like deer. You know, she had a pretty sophisticated plan here, but I want you to know, no matter how slick and clever your plan might be, you and I can never accomplish God's will through the works of our own flesh. Hebrews 6 verse 12 tells us that it's through faith and patience, not through our own ingenuity, that we inherit the promises of God. Verse 11 tells us, and Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, "Look, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing." You golfers need to understand this is the first skins game. It's about to take place right here. Now notice, Jacob isn't really concerned about the morality of this plan. Notice he's not asking here what's right and what's wrong. Is it right to lie to my father? All he cares about is what's going to happen if he gets caught. But his mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me." Rebecca apparently had thrown caution to the wind. She doesn't care about right or wrong either, only what's best for her baby boy and getting what's best for him. And he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebecca took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. She tried to cover all the bases. She put the skin on his neck and on his hand so he would feel hairy like Esau. You remember the name Esau? You remember what it means? Hairy. When the kid was born, he looked like a little bear cub coming out of the womb. You know, he had so much hair all over him. And here she's covering the bases. And she's just as conniving, and Jacob is just as conniving as her mother. You know, he could have stood up, couldn't he? He could have refused to do this, but instead he participated. Verse 18, so he went to his father and said, "My father." Now the Bible doesn't say this, but I would imagine that Jacob also probably tried to change his voice. You remember Esau was kind of a macho guy. And I'm sure he talked with some kind of a deep, raspy kind of voice. And Jacob was a mama's boy, and he probably had this little high-pitched kind of a voice. And so he walks in, and he says, "My father," you know. Verse 23 tells us, though, that Jacob's impersonation didn't work. And he said, "Here I am. Where are you, my son?" And Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit, and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God brought it to me." And this is scary. Because notice now, Jacob brings God into his lie. Hey, here's a good example of taking the name of the Lord in vain. Verse 21. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." And this is just what Jacob and Rebekah had anticipated. Apparently, Isaac had smelled a rat. Maybe he knew what his wife and son were capable of. He was a little suspicious, and so he said, "Come closer so that I can feel you. I can see if you're Esau." And so Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice." Apparently his impersonation didn't work. "But the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Then he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He said, "I am." He said, "Bring it near to me and I will eat of my son's game so that my soul may bless you." So he brought it near to him and he ate. and he brought him wine and he drank. And I'm sure Jacob brought him the whole bottle of wine. The whole idea was to cloud his judgment and keep him from discerning the truth. You know, Isaac is really an interesting study. Apparently, there was a check in his spirit. Apparently, God warned him that there was a ruse afoot. He was suspicious. That's why he wanted to feel his son. His initial suspicion must have been God's warning to him, but his desire for physical pleasure, his desire for these venison steaks, drowned out any spiritual discernment that he might have had. Isaac is sad. He listens to his stomach more than he listens to God. Beware, physical pleasures tend to drown out spiritual discernment. Verse 26, then his father Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Which doesn't really say much for Esau's personal hygiene. Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. And you remember, this was the promise that God made to Abraham in Genesis 12. And now it's passed down to his son Isaac, not Ishmael. And it is now being passed down to Isaac's son Jacob, not Esau. But you know, it didn't have to happen as the result of a ruse. Rebecca didn't know God's plan, so she concocted her own, and the consequences were devastating. Her manipulation will cause her great pain and anguish. You see, you start to see the pain that she causes in verse 30. Now it happened, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me. And his father Isaac said to him, who are you? And so he said, I am your son, your firstborn, Esau. Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him. And indeed, he shall be blessed. Notice something interesting. You would think Isaac would become angry, that he would be mad at what had happened. Rather, he trembled exceedingly. Perhaps it dawned on him that God's will had been done despite him rather than because of him. Apparently, he had been spiritually insensitive to what God had wanted to do all along. Isaac must have been resistant to what he knew was God's will, God's desire to break with custom and bless the younger above the older. And it stuns Isaac that suddenly he realizes God has gone over his head, you might say. Isaac realizes that God in his sovereignty has accomplished his will without him. Hey, here's the truth. God's will always gets done, either with us or without us. Verse 34 tells us, when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me also, O my father. But he said, your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing. And Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he has taken away my blessing. The word Jacob means supplanter. Or deceiver, double crosser, you might say. And Esau is saying, my brother has lived up to his name. That double crosser has double crossed me. Jacob extorted from his brother, and now he has deceived his father. Verse 36. And Esau said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? And then Isaac answered and said to Esau, indeed, I have made him your master. And all his brethren I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son? And Esau said to his father, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. At first you feel sorry for Esau. You feel a pity for him. But Hebrews 12, verses 14 through 17, puts Esau's plight in context. I want you to read with me from Hebrews. It says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking diligently lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears." Yes, Esau cried. Yes, he showed remorse, but he showed no repentance. Esau regretted the outcome, but he was never willing to change and conform his life to the will of God. It's one thing to feel sorry you got caught. It's another thing to accept God's will and conform to it. And it's interesting that Isaac here refused to reverse what he had done. I think that's interesting. Even though they might have thought this would be the just thing to do, to reverse this deception that's occurred, he refused to do so. He could have revoked what had happened, but instead he lets it stand. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20 tells us why. He says, "By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau." Apparently, Isaac had sensed that God's providence had prevailed, that even despite him, God had worked out his will. And Isaac had faith enough to accept this situation in this turn of events as the will of God. But there is a secondary blessing for Esau. Verse 39. "Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, 'Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you become restless that you shall break his yoke from your neck.'" And this is exactly what happened. History tells us after their exodus from Egypt, the descendants of Jacob, the 12 sons of Jacob, the Hebrews, will re-enter the land. And Esau's descendants, the Edomites, will become subservient to the tribe of Judah. Their submission will last 600 years until the reign of King Jehoram in 850 BC. In fact, 2 Chronicles chapters 21, verse 8 says, "In his days, King Jehoram, Edom revolted against Judah's authority and made a king over themselves." It says, just as the prophecy here says, when you become restless, that you shall break his yoke from your neck. It took about, 1,000 years for that to happen. And so here we have a 1,000-year-old prophecy that was fulfilled, and now we can go back and look at its fulfillment. Hebrews tells us that Esau never found repentance because a root of bitterness blocked his progress. Guys, bitterness is a blocker. Bitterness will block you from the blessings of God. This past week while I was in Haiti, my wife had a little Haiti of her own. She had a terrible ordeal that she had to endure. Our toilet overflowed. It soaked the basement with water. We had to pull up the carpet and get rid of it. A root had grown into our septic line and had blocked the flow of sewage. It was a miserable situation, to say the least, and my poor wife had to deal with it, you know, by herself with the help of a couple of friends here from Calvary Chapel. I appreciate you so very much. While I was down in Haiti, it was the one time when I really wasn't anxious to come home from Haiti. But you see, this is what happens in our lives. God wants a continual flow of cleansing and blessing to sort of flush through us. But bitterness blocks that spiritual flow. And sewage backs up anger and hatred and pride and jealousy and frustration spill over behind the blockage, and our lives become flooded with spiritual sewage. This is what happened to Esau. And this is why we need to uproot any root of bitterness that might take hold in our lives. We need to choose to forgive rather than grow bitter. And Esau's bitterness is obvious in verse 41. So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." Isaac was able to accept this as the will of God. He was able to forgive and move on. But not Esau. He wanted to hold on to the grudge. He nursed this grudge until it became a desire to murder his brother. And the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. And I'm sure at that moment it hit her. What kind of a monster have I created as a mother? I'm sure she realized, what kind of damage have I done to my own family? Remember, her plan, not God's plan, her plan had put her own sons at odds against each other. And now her older son wants to kill her younger son. Guys, this is why we need to trust God. This is why we need to be patient. Rather than take matters into our own hands and try to work things out through the flesh, we need to walk by faith and rely upon God to work His will in His way, in His time. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, "Surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran, and stay with him a few days." These few days are going to turn into 20 years. 20 years. "Until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you, and he forgets what you have done to him, then I will send and bring you from there." It never happened. She never again saw her son, Jacob, the son that she loved. "Why should I be bereaved also of you both in one day?" It's sad, but there's a good chance that Rebekah never again saw Jacob. Rather than trust God, she took matters into her own hands. And it not only turned her older son against her, but it cost her the fellowship of the son that she loved the most. Verse 46. "And Rebekah said to Isaac, 'I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, like these who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me?'" You know, as a parent, it does rip your heart out to see your child marry to unbelievers, to the daughters of Heth, to those who don't follow the Lord. And this is another way of sending Jacob away. Rebekah doesn't want her son to marry an unbeliever, and so she sends Jacob northeast to Haran, to her own homeland. Chapter 28. "Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, 'You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham.'" Jacob will later pass on this Abrahamic covenant to his 12 sons, and they will become the fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel. Israel is God's chosen people. Verse 5 says, "So Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram to Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau."
That concludes the teaching portion of today's broadcast with Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel, Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Join us next time as Pastor Sandy continues teaching through the first book of the Bible, Genesis. You can learn a great deal about Pastor Sandy by visiting our website. The web address is sandyadams.org. That's sandyadams.org. Simply click on the radio program option from the main menu. When you click on the radio program option at the website, you'll find today's message and many other messages from Pastor Sandy. You can download today's teaching, listen again, subscribe to the podcast, or browse the archive of messages. If you live in the Stone Mountain, Georgia area, or will be visiting anytime soon, you can get directions and times for our worship services. Again, the website for all this information is sandyadams.org. We love hearing how God's Word touches the lives of His followers. So please log on to sandyadams.org and click on the Contact Us link and send us a note about how today's message has encouraged you. Your feedback helps us tremendously. Once again, you've been listening to the Daily Bible Teaching Program of Pastor Sandy Adams. Please tune in next time as we continue through the book of Genesis. That's next time on Sandy Adams Radio.